verses 8 to 12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is the word of the Lord.
I would encourage you for the outreach we have on July the 1st. Do invite your friends and family, neighbors, colleagues from work, young and old alike, because it'll be a wonderful occasion just to celebrate not just Canada Day, but who we are as a community and to include others as well. So please do think who you want to invite, your connections that you have with family and friends and neighbors and colleagues, and bring them along on Canada Day. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Vancouver is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. In the 2018 Mercer survey of global cities with the best quality of life, Vancouver is ranked number 5, behind Vienna, Zurich, Auckland, and Munich. It's the only city from North America in the top 15. The rest are in Europe, New Zealand, or Australia. None in England, but anyway. But what gives Vancouver such a high rank? Vancouver has more natural beauty than any major city in the world. Mountains, beaches, parks, rainforests, wildlife. Vancouver has wisely embraced its surrounding beauty. There are view corridors that mean that the views can be appreciated by all. The seawall is freely accessible. Stanley Park is home to 1,001 acres of mostly untouched trees. Vancouver has the best Asian food outside of Asia. Vancouver's weather is favorable. You can walk or cycle or play tennis or enjoy a round of golf all year long. And the list goes on. The New York Times described Vancouver as Manhattan with mountains. And USA Today marveled, consider it the supermodel of North American cities. Families and friends of my own, with a hint of envy, say how privileged we are to live in Vancouver. But I want to suggest to you this morning that even though Vancouver is incredibly beautiful, there is something even more beautiful. It's the church. Oh, I don't mean the building, though our building is spectacular. I mean our Christian life together. Christian community is beautiful. In today's passage, Peter identifies 5 characteristics of Christian community and 1 characteristic of Christian response. How do we respond to the world? The 5 characteristics are listed in verse 8. Live in harmony. Be sympathetic, love as a family, show compassion, be humble. The 1 characteristic of Christian response is in verse 9. repay evil with blessing. Let's have a look at each of these. Live in harmony means be like-minded. I think it's easy to think this just means sharing agreement. Agreement is good, but agreement can be shallow. I agree that today is a nice day. I agree that the best way to Granville Market is straight down Granville Street. I agree that country and Western music is terrible. But these are just shared opinion. Being like-minded means being so much more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 captures the idea. There Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And here, Paul describes those who understand that having one mind means being like Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5 says that it looks like the same attitude that Jesus had. And Jesus chose the way of a servant, even to death on a cross. When we live like this, not looking to our own interests, but the interests of others, we live in harmony. Earlier this week, I spoke with a pastor friend in the UK that I've not seen for several years. When I was there, he and I would meet weekly to pray and share together. And it was good to renew the friendship this past week. But what I found most enjoyable was how instantly both of us talked about what Jesus is doing in our lives. We were like-minded. And being like-minded means that. It's that we discuss and share what Jesus is doing in our lives. Being like-minded. The next characteristic is sympathy. Somebody defines sympathy as your pain in my heart. Sympathy is when we identify with someone's feelings or circumstances. One preacher on this verse tells the story of a 9-year-old boy sitting at his desk in school. Suddenly there is a puddle between his feet and his pants are wet. He thinks his heart is going to stop. He knows that if the boys in the class find out, he'll never hear the end of it. And if the girls in the class find out, they'll never speak to him again. He puts his head down and he prays. Dear God, this is an emergency. I need help now. 5 minutes from now and I am dead meat. He looks up only to see the teacher coming towards him. As a teacher approaches, another student, Susie, is carrying a bowl of water. At that moment, she stumbles and dumps the bowl into the boy's lap. He pretends to be angry, but inside he is singing the Hallelujah chorus. Instead of utter shame, the boy's rushed downstairs by his teacher, and the teacher gives him some gym shorts so his pants can dry out. And when he returns to the class are all on their hands and feet, just mopping up the water around his desk. At the end of the day, the boy and Susie are by the bus stop waiting to go home. And the boy walks over to Susie and whispers to her, Susie, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And she whispers back, I wet my pants once too. Susie understood 1 Corinthians 12:26. When one Christian suffers, others suffer with them. Sympathy is your pain in my heart. It's the way of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that Jesus is our great high priest who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. Sympathy is Jesus coming alongside us into our brokenness to set us free. And we are called to walk with one another in the same way. Being like-minded, having sympathy. The phrase brotherly love or loving one another really means love like a family. It's the next characteristic. Peter has already spoken about this kind of love in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. There he says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your sisters and brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." And in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, he says, "Love your fellow believers," or family of believers. Last weekend, our Chinese orchestra and our adult choir opened the Chinese evangelistic services at Bethany Baptist Church in Richmond. And I've been told by many who attended that they were delighted to see just a small sample of Trinity's diversity. In fact, Pastor Doris tells me that one person was so taken by this sample of diversity that this person wants to come to Trinity. That's family love, showing Christ. Here's another story. In one of the recent Guess Who's Coming to Dinner events, one guest explained how they were unable to get out because of illness. And this person is new to Trinity and wondered if anybody would notice that they were not out on Sundays. Well, imagine the delight then when several people in the congregation took notice that this person wasn't there and took time to buy this person groceries and go visit with this person. Here again is family love. Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The next characteristic that Peter lists here is compassion. It's one of my favorite New Testament words. In the language of the New Testament, the word literally means healthy bowels. In the same way that today we locate or refer to the heart as the seat of compassion, so ancient people referred to the bowels as the source of compassion. The King James Bible, for example, translates God's compassion in Isaiah 63, verse 15, with the phrase, "the sounding of thy bowels." Put simply, compassion is like a movement of the gut. It comes from deep within. There's nothing momentary or superficial about compassion. In Luke 7, verse 11, Jesus comes to the town of Nain. As he approaches, he's met by a funeral procession. A mum has just lost her only son. This is the second heartbreaking tragedy in her life because she's a widow, so she's clearly lost her husband sometime before. And therefore, now she has no family, no hope, no livelihood, and no joy. There's no wonder that she is crying when Jesus sees her. Perhaps there are some here this morning who are in a similar place. You've lost family, a sense of hope, livelihood perhaps, and that sense of joy. Last Wednesday was the 20th anniversary of my sister's wedding. She and her husband had everything: their own profitable business, a large home in the English countryside, two children, and a Europe-wide reputation for breeding pedigree dogs. On September the 4th, 2010, while they were at a national dog show winning prizes, her husband collapsed and died of a heart attack. He was just 45 years old. Like the woman in Luke 7, my sister's world collapsed, fell apart. But in Luke 7, Jesus could so easily have let that funeral procession pass. We're told in the passage that a large crowd were following him, and he so easily could have given them attention. He doesn't. Instead, Jesus has compassion. He has healthy bowels. There's a sounding of his bowels. And he turns to that grieving mom, and he says, "Don't cry." And he goes up to the coffin, and he touches the coffin, which would have made him ritually unclean in the eyes of the religious leaders at the time. And then he commands the dead man back to life. in what has got to be one of the greatest triumphs of compassion, Luke 7, verse 15 says, "And Jesus gave him, the son, back to his mother." Can you picture that? That's compassion. Compassion, Jesus style. And he gives back hope when all seems lost. That's what we are called to as a church. One of the reasons that we offer quiet prayer at the end of each service is so that those who seek God's compassion may have someone to pray with, someone who can care for them. Compassion is a characteristic of a Christ-centered church. The fifth characteristic of Christian community is humility. The story is told of a young North American music student who visited the Beethoven Museum in Bonn, Germany, in the early 20th century. And she was fascinated by the piano that Beethoven composed some of his greatest works on. And handing a lavish tip to the museum guard, she asked if she could play a few notes on the piano. The guard agreed. So she sat at the piano and played the opening of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. And as she left, she said to the guard, "I suppose all the great pianists who come here want to play on that piano." The guard shook his head. Paderewski, the famous Polish pianist, was here just a few years ago, and he said he was not worthy to touch it. Somebody once said, the trouble with humility is that as soon as you think you have it, you've lost it. But this was not so with Jesus. He described himself as humble, and he never lost his humility. In Matthew 11, verse 29, he says, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And his humility is seen most clearly at the cross. Though he had all the glory, all the honor with the Father, he came. And Philippians 2, verse 6 and 8 says that he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As the cross is the mark of the Christian life, so humility, if you will, is its subtitle. Humility is the hallmark of Christian living, Christian attitude. Luke 14, verse 11 says, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And as Peter will later say in this same letter, in chapter 5, verse 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So here are five characteristics that can define Trinity Baptist Church. Live in harmony. Be sympathetic. Love as a family. Show compassion. Be humble. But Peter gives us one more characteristic. It's a characteristic that describes how we respond to the world around us. In chapter 3, verse 9, he says that we are not to repay evil with evil, but with blessing. Because this is the life that we are called to. On Tuesday last week, I received a phone call from ICBC saying that someone had put a claim against Catherine because she had collided with their car and had not stopped. She does know I'm telling you this story, by the way. In the dense traffic, the driver of the other vehicle felt an impact on their vehicle. And then next thing they see is Catherine in our white car driving on. And the driver took our car's license number and reported it. However, there's no discernible dent or scratch on our car. And Catherine has absolutely no recollection of any collision. What's more, the driver of the other vehicle seemed confused on exactly where in Vancouver the incident occurred. But here's the point. The ICBC representative was aggressive, insisting that Catherine must be at fault. And as you can imagine, Catherine was shaken by the accusation. But what struck me was how she responded to this aggressive representative. She did not trade insults. Retaliation, revenge, getting our own way back, are not the way of Christ. Catherine said that perhaps the other driver was disorientated and made a mistake. She was willing to bless, not blame. So we submitted photographs of our vehicle and prayed that the Lord's will would be done. And when the ICBC representative saw the photographs, the claim was immediately dropped. As the quote from Psalm 34 in this very passage says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." As a community, we are called to respond to the world around with blessing, not curses. In Luke 6, verse 28, Jesus says, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you." You know, it is very difficult to become frustrated with someone that you are blessing. It's very difficult to become frustrated with someone that you are blessing. Blessing makes a difference. It makes a difference for us in our attitude, and it makes a difference in the relationship and the connection with the person that we're wanting to connect with, who might even be frustrating us. Just think then what life would be like if our first response is to bless. "Lord, that person at work really annoys me. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray your abundant blessing upon them. Lord, that church leader didn't say hi to me this morning. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray that you would bless that person with your amazing grace and love. Lord, those children in the church foyer are disruptive and annoying. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray your blessing on them, that they know they are always welcome here. Lord, the worship leader did not choose songs that I like. Not enough hymns, not enough contemporary songs. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to bless that worship leader, that through them, God may speak and move in the lives of others." Think of the difference that blessing makes when our first response is there. It is said that if you shout for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, you create enough kinetic energy to heat one cup of coffee. All our complaining, all our shouting, all our cursing gets us nowhere. But blessing changes lives. So take blessing into your week this week. Whatever your circumstance might be, whoever those might be around you who you find irritating or annoying or frustrating, and bless, don't curse. Bless, don't curse. It's the way of Christ. As Paul will say in Romans 12, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." 5 characteristics of Christian community. 1 characteristic of how we respond to the world. Those make Christianity truly attractive. Makes us attractive at Trinity Baptist Church, even more than Vancouver itself. Amen. Pastor Lee, thank you.